What kind of podcast is this?
Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast.
For video games.
For video games. What am I supposed to say again? Welcome to season 3 of Bad Playstyle. This is our infinite spoiler warning. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear that Metroid is a girl. Or the Zelda's boy. There, how's that?
Yeah. We swears a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that,
you say bad words.
You can send corrections to
badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Welcome to Bad Playstyle. We're back again.
Hello.
Hot ass room.
Hi, friends.
How's it going?
Warm.
Warm. gentlemen.
Warm and friendly.
Gentlemen, who played Pyre this week?
We did.
I played Pyre. I played Pyre so hard.
Well, I played Pyre. Yeah, I guess. Did I play it this week? Yeah, I did play it. Yeah. Well, it depends if you count Sunday as part of the week.
There was a whole bodybuilding.net thread about this.
Yeah.
About whether Sunday is the start of the week or not.
Yeah.
And if you could fit four workouts in a week every other day for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And it was really funny. They couldn't do it. And then they could do it, and they couldn't, and they didn't know how long a week was.
Okay. This is some bad bro math in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Some people were like, 3.5. I was like, what the fuck's a half a day? All right, man, whatever.
Simplified the fraction, dingus.
No. What you gotta do is you gotta switch to the workout week, which is 6 days, mm-hmm. and it's just completely out of sync with
the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a workout full moon.
It's a workout full moon. The workout week synced up with the regular week. It's workout Monday and regular Monday.
There's 5 workout weeks this month.
Ouch. All right.
This is entirely gym bro logic.
So, like, accurate. Before we talk about Pyre too much, I want to talk about other stuff. Namely, the thing Owen was literally just doing before we turned the heat on in this room.
What is that?
Playing No Man's Sky.
Oh, yeah. You bought a game
and you put it in.
Right, but so how old is that game?
Wait, we haven't introduced ourselves.
We haven't? Oh, we haven't!
We haven't.
I forgot already. It's only been like 3 podcasts.
You're already taking in the heat stroke.
Yeah. My brain's not working right
now. It's in you. It's like Gatorade.
Yeah. I was trying to type the words earlier, and I was typing words that were like...
God, 2000's marketing is fucking terrible.
Structurally similar, but like if you take out one word, it's a completely different meaning. I just kept doing that. Anyway, so let's start on the left over here. Not that that means anything to the viewers.
My name... is not yet a shame man, not quite a shame boy, Keenan Bailey.
Named it. Nailed it. Wow. Yay. Wow. I'm Matt.
I've been reading it a lot.
I'm usually eats chapstick.
Okay.
Known to some as Owen.
Known to some as Owen. And this is Bad Playstyle. If you're confused as to why we just did that, it's our checks and balances system to make sure we finish the video games we're talking about on time.
Mm-hmm. Which will be a thing. This episode.
What?
It'll be topical.
Oh, yeah, it'll be topical, like, because we're handing one out. Yeah. We don't always hand one out.
It's been a chicken hat light season.
Yeah, but, okay, we'll talk about that
It means
later.
It's working.
We'll talk about that later. We played Pyre this week. We'll save that for later. I want you to talk about No Man's Sky. Back to my original question. How old is No Man's Sky? How many years ago did that game come out?
I don't know. I just saw it on the Steam library. on the Steam sale, and I hadn't heard of it before.
I
just picked it up. It seems pretty cool. I can't see why anyone wouldn't like it.
I heard a snide remark on Twitter that it's been 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it came out in 2016.
Yeah, I'm not trying to cast shade on No Man's Sky. Because, like, we're well past that. That dude's not on TV anymore, right?
Sure.
And it was really just that dude, right?
Yeah, no, like... all the things that, all those terrible, hateful things that have been sent Hello Games' way have been sent to them, and they have moved on and continued building their game. Like, that's...
Oh, come on. There's still lots of hateful things yet to be written and sent to them.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Internet.
There's some people who will never get over that war.
Mm-hmm.
Like, No Man's Sky flags on the hoods of their pickups.
And they draw the good clouds on the roof.
That game's super cool. I don't know what to say about it. Like,
okay, but like... You said you told us, like, in the chat that you stayed up till 2 a.m.
Yeah,
playing the game
the night of
like
there's a lot to take in, but it doesn't like hold your hand like at all, like in a way that I think is actually not good.
Mm.
Like it just sort of like leaves you to figure just about everything out.
Okay,
and you start
just hands you a mining laser and says get good.
Well, and I think this is a deliberate move.
Watch out for the Dark Souls combat. Get good.
I think this is a deliberate move to get you like out exploring. It starts you on a like environmentally hazardous planet, which on one hand, like I get it, like they want you to go out and find new planets.
That forces action.
Yeah.
But also
at the same time, like I don't know what I'm doing yet, and I'm just dying from walking around and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played that game till 2 a.m. two nights in a row. Actually.
Oh fuck! Yes, so I hadn't heard about that yet.
Oh, that's got cool drop-in multiplayer. I've been playing with my friend Aaron. I found a nice planet, and it's got little popping mushrooms on it, and I named that planet the English Country Garden. I've been having a lot of fun coming up with really dumb names for shit. Like, the first planet I started on, the one that was, like, had acid rain all the time and shit.
Sounds pleasant.
Yeah.
What'd you name it?
It's called Harriman's Hellhole.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And, like, I have a little base on it, and I've been thinking about going back to pick up those things, but, like, also, I just could not do that.
Yeah. Like,
why
would
you go back?
Those things don't seem...
You're in a better place now.
Irreplaceable, yeah. Right?
I got a big robot head with enormous robot eyes, and I'm making friends with little dinosaur boys, and, it's a cool game. It's very relaxing.
Cool. It's sort of... I remember, what was that shitty MMO, that, like, a bunch of WoW devs made after WoW.
Wildstar.
I remember in Wildstar...
Wildstar!
What?
That's what you yell when someone's about to fight and you're filming.
You should have said it when someone's about to send out a bunch of, like, telegraphs on the floor. Because that was their big thing, right? Was the telegraphs on the floor, remember? Yeah. Anyway, so, Wildstar. They were like, there's... like, a couple of gameplay styles we want to cater to, and one of them was, like, exploration, another one was, like, learning the lore, another one was, like, combat, and another one was creating a house.
There was crafting.
Yeah. So, like, sort of seems like that exploring one.
Yeah.
We're kind of just doing that.
Yeah.
Not to bring up Wildstar positively.
But, no, like, it has some things.
Sure.
I wonder if that game's even live anymore.
I don't think so, but...
there's not a chance.
I was on... No, it can't be, because I was on the developer's website today, and it's not on their website.
So, that's what you've been playing. Did you want to talk about anything else you've been playing?
I don't know, that's about it.
That's about all you've been doing? Okay, cool. I played multiplayer Pyre and Lethal League at school with children.
Oh, cool.
Which was dope, because... We're going to talk about Pyre in a little bit, but I just want, like, that game is mad complicated just from...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're just dropping somebody into it.
Sure.
Right? And there was this, like, a few matches, I played with just this one kid, and he was like, he didn't get it, but he liked the art style enough to stick around.
Sure.
I think that's what was going on. And then there was this point where he got it. He understood how to do it. And he started, like, killing me. Over and over again.
There was just a switch.
Because I was beating him handily every single round, and then he figured out how fast Sir Gilman is, and just like
worms, man, worms.
Yeah, I can't do two things at once, and he can because he's a child and he's faster than me. So yeah, it was tough, but it was cool that like you know an 11-year-old is able to pick up this video game, master it in an hour. And kick my ass at it, even though it's, like, way complicated.
I'm glad you can sit here and appreciate that instead of being mad about it.
I mean, I was mad at the time.
Yeah, no, like, anyone would be. But, like, that you're away from it now, and you're like, that's actually pretty cool.
Well, it's anytime I can get the kids to, like, engage with a video game that's not Minecraft, Super Smash Brothers, or FIFA, I'm pretty happy about
Yo,
that.
Yo, but what about Fortnite?
They're actually not allowed to talk about Fortnite anymore.
Oh, right.
At my school.
Right, there's like a district-wide rule, right?
There's a district-wide policy. We're not allowed to stream it. We're not allowed to talk about it. We're not allowed to play it. Because it's that bad.
Yeah.
It's that pervasive and annoying.
That's how bad it is, yeah. That's exactly the problem.
Disruptive.
God, I shouldn't say that. I want a job.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it's that, like, aggressive in the middle schools.
Yeah.
And the high schools. That the school district I work for is just like, nah.
Nah, bro.
We're not doing it.
We're not, we don't want any.
We're done.
The only time you use that word is when it's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, the kids are calling it the new F word. Nice. They're like, we're not allowed to say the F word. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. They're making fun of
it. Fight the power,
kids. I like it.
Good.
But anyway, that game sucks. Keenan?
Fucking.
Did you play any games worth mentioning?
Z, PUBG. The mysteries of Eve deepen, and I'm enjoying it. That's all I need to say.
That is all you need to say. Cool.
That's great.
Yeah, we can move on.
I've barely played any video games this week, as we're about to get to.
Yeah. Okay, so, Pyre.
Pyre.
Why did Keenan, you picked Pyre.
I picked Pyre.
Why the fuck?
Kind of really randomly. Like, I was on the fence about one game, and then I was like, nah, fuck it, we're doing Pyre.
Well,
like,
it's a super giant game.
It was like a fuck it, we'll do it live moment.
Transistor was a piece of high art.
Bastion, yeah, no, so that was sort of where great. I was, that's where my headspace was. I'm looking through my list, and I'm like, I have Pyre. I've been meaning to play that. It's a super giant game. We'll have shit to talk about there. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I went into Pyre knowing only what I'd heard in media about it, which is that it is a fantasy RPG.
With NBA Jam on top of it?
You play a sports game that is very NBA Jam-like.
All right.
I think that's pretty accurate, but also in the way that we've talked about, wrestlers are actually more than one sentence, even though you try to summarize them that way.
Well,
this game is way more than that sentence.
That's the ideal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is that you should feel uncomfortable describing it in one sentence.
Right, I can tell you so-and-so is this, but also that's not enough.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that summary of Pyre.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Pyre. So, my experience with Pyre was that the game got increasingly difficult into the midpoint, and then became very easy again when I figured out how to use the other characters that I hadn't been using,
because
one of the things that happens in the game is that as you win the game, you take your best players and remove them from your roster.
Yeah.
The whole game is set in the downside, which I can only assume is like a different plane of existence. Because
it seems kind of like
it's kind
culturally
of like hell.
Mandated hell.
Yeah, yeah, and like I remember reading in the book in there that like one of the first people they sent down there turned into a fucking demon,
and they were like, "Fuck,
yeah."
This place is bad. We should punish people with it.
Yeah. Well, no, because they were already doing that.
Right?
Yeah, and they sent the emperor was like, I want the Star Stone that's land there, and he went down there and turned into a demon.
Stayed too long.
And then other stuff happened. But
and his friend was really
sad. What difficulties did you guys play on?
There was normal difficulty sliders.
Yeah.
When you start, there's like four options.
You can go into the options and change it anytime.
Oh, I never mess with it.
Yeah, I left it on standard.
I cranked mine up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Okay. Well, I mean, what?
So let me explain the loop, because we were like halfway there.
Okay.
So the whole game takes place on the downside, which is where criminals and or political prisoners get sent by the ruling body
the unwanted.
In the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's literally one of the teams.
And the Commonwealth is run by like...
The Commonwealth is run by people who won this game.
Yeah, we find that out. It's run by people who won the game and came back, and we're like, yo, we need to uphold the rules, because they're dicks, I guess. But there, it turns out there is a loophole when you are in the downside, where if you play NBA Jam well enough, you can go back to the real world.
Yeah.
It's the whole purpose. It's not just that it's like hell, it's that it's purgatory.
Yeah,
like it's whole function.
You can spend enough time in the fucking down under or whatever and perform the rites well enough and get your life back. And even if you come back as a freaky ass demon, they'll let you go.
People are cool with it because you did it. Good on you. So the way the gameplay loop works is you play a varying number of games against teams in the downside. And then you get sent to the mountain that is, like, covered in god statues.
Which is where the old emperor died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, you know, significant. And you play a game there that is a...
Liberation rite.
Yeah. The game is called The Rites the entire time.
Yeah.
And you play a Liberation Rite, which has no rule changes, which is kind of an interesting thing. I kind of expected that when they made it a big deal. But what happens at the beginning when you're picking your team in a Liberation Rite is the first person you pick is the person you're nominating to go back to the Commonwealth if you win.
Well, so just minor thing here. It does sort of have a rules change. Once you get to a certain point based on what team you're facing in the Liberation Rite, they will get an advantage over you.
Yeah.
Like, if you, the Harpies team, if you're playing against them, they get to start midfield.
Yeah, that shit happened. After 50
points. It's really difficult to deal with. You gotta it's very oppressive.
Really quick.
Yeah, and that was one thing I wanted to say is we talked about this briefly. You apparently played Murder Everyone All the Time ball, and I played Squeak Through into the End Zone ball. Yeah. So, yeah. Owen, how did you play this game?
I lost every single match that I got into. Every single ritual combat.
So, did you turn the difficulty up so they'd go faster?
Yes.
Aha.
I got tired. I got tired of how long it took after a while.
Okay, and you're like, no, beat my ass harder.
Why did you choose to do this?
So like, the game has this, like, fundamental narrative design where, you can win or lose any amount of matches and, like, play the game all the way through and see it to its conclusion.
Okay.
And I'd heard about this before you had even picked Pyre.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was, like, a really fascinating game design idea of, like...
How does this get executed?
What well, like, it's, like, failure in video games is, like, this very, like, no-no thing. You know, the protagonist, like, in so many games, you know, life does not go on when you fail. Even in Dark Souls, the game about failure is about you triumphing over your failure.
Right.
Of you...
You don't ultimately fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And so...
Yeah, failure is not an ending in games very often.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, the closest thing you'll get is if you die in, like, an old RPG, and it'll just say, you died. And, like, that's technically an ending.
Yeah.
But
not in, like, a wrap-up-the-story, tell-you-what-happened way.
And so this was a bit of an experiment on my part. It was like, okay, let's see how committed they are to this idea.
Right.
Like, if I lose every single game, if I play the fucking worst, like, ritual basketball in the world.
Okay, cool.
I
appreciate your sacrifice.
Well, so what's the difference? Like, what happened?
Not much, apparently.
Okay.
At least it didn't seem like it to me. Obviously, I didn't play through the game twice.
The old BioWare choice.
Did Sandalwood's plan still go off?
Yeah, but it's a mess.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, I was noticing the more I won, the more my chance for success with the plan went up.
Well, yeah,
because
so
I imagine your chance on the plan was very low.
When you first go up to the... So we should explain who Sandalwood is. So...
he's a tree man.
Yeah, well, that's not enough, but, so, when you're playing the game, you are, like, a cripple in the desert who's dying of thirst, and the three main characters find you, and they're like, hey, there's this dude, and the demon's like, let's kill him, and the dog is like, I don't care, I'm leaving. And
the dog with a mustache.
Yeah, the dog with a mustache. I shaved his mustache.
I did, too. I regretted it afterwards.
That's so bad.
I felt bad about it.
I was poking fun at him. I didn't realize that he would rip it off if I told him I didn't like it.
And never even bring it up.
Yeah,
never
bring it up. It's like reverse Da Vinci hug.
Yeah. It was whatever. Thankfully,
there's consequences for the things you say to people.
Yeah, apparently. What did you name your Vagabond girl?
Oh, Zay.
Zay?
With an X.
K.
I named her Shay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you meet
a girl in the bushes, and she's like, I don't know my name, and then looks at the camera and goes, what's my name? And you get, like, 14 options for her name.
They rhyme with gray.
Did you see that you can name her Bay?
Yeah.
And if you mouse over, it's like, this is surely not the correct answer.
Yeah, I did like the little editorials in there. So anyway, you're a guy who can read, which is apparently illegal in this world.
Reading is mad illegal. Because it turns out there's these books laying around that tell everyone how freedom works.
Yeah, so they hook you up and they're like, hey, so our benefactor, the guy who's like bankrolling this whole operation, his name is Sandalwood. And you eventually meet Sandalwood, and Sandalwood's like, hey, I got this plan. We're going to get a bunch of people who hate the system topside and, like, knock it over. And you're like...
And we're going to do that with fantasy basketball.
Did you guys ever fully trust him?
What, Sandalwood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He seems
I don't know. He kind of skeeved me out from the beginning.
He's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of weird up front.
Just to put it out there, I saved him till my final liberation rite.
Yeah.
Because I did all six of them, and I won all six of them.
Okay.
On the last one, it was... I used Sandalwood, Sir Gilman, and Bertrude, because I knew Bertrude didn't want to leave, because she's, like, fucking from the downside.
Snake Lady, right?
And, yeah, the Snake Lady from the swamps.
Yeah, I set her up. She didn't care.
Sir Gilman is a jobber in honor, and he has a ton of honor, and he knows that he can stay behind, and everyone else will take care of business. And Sandalwood, I saved him for last. I was like, Sandalwood, you want to go? And Sandalwood was like, no, and you go.
Oh, sure.
So, like, that last thing where Sandalwood was like, instead of me going, you should go, because you, like,
which
made
is,
this
which
whole
is a thing that's
happen.
Cool, because there are people constantly telling you, you don't get to go.
Right.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. From the beginning, you're told that, like, you...
You will never
get Readers don't get to go. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, because like, you're not on the court. You're not part of the triumvirate of your team. You don't get to participate, or you don't get to... Yeah. You have no chance for escape.
So, the final match was between, Sandalwood and Orelec, which I figured was, like, cool.
I think Orelec's always the last man.
Yeah, well, so it was like, a cool thematic thing that I chose Sandalwood as. Sandalwood is my center, and the one we were offering up versus Orelec because of their shared past of Orelec being on his team before, having been offered up, and then getting their other teammate killed because she tried to take it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Orelec is a big doo-doo head and a butt-licker.
Yeah.
And Keenan disagrees.
I think he acted very poorly. I agree with that, but I gave him the go-ahead in that sequence.
The thing that made me, like, really unsympathetic to him was, like, I get, like, in the moment of, like, oh, this person took my chance for escape, and that's why I'm mad at, like, all these people that, like,
right.
It's not
but
really
he's been on
fault.
This shit for years.
Yeah, and it's, like, he's had a lot of time to think about it.
And he's literally breaking the universe to get revenge.
And
he
still comes to the conclusion that it's their fault, and it's like, really, dude?
Yeah.
It's definitely not.
No, he's very childish.
And you can go suck a fart out of your mom's ass.
So he's actually a little better than you'd think, because if you lose against him in the final right,
he still offers?
You can talk to him, and he will give you... his spot.
Oh.
Like, you can talk him into it. Okay. Yeah, I think you can also just get yourself stuck in the downside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Did you opt to leave?
Yeah, I
didn't. So, we've done all of them, I guess. All three of the options at the end.
Well, Sandalwood was like, hey, do you want
to
go? And I was like, hell yeah. See you later,
okay.
Fucker. Because, Sandalwood, he made the plan happen. Like, his legacy is intact. Yeah. He can go hang out in the downside and do cool stuff.
Turns out he's kind of happy with it.
Yeah, like, he's fine. He did what he wanted to do. And, like, I'm good with it.
All the people in my little coterie became, like, good friends. And even though it's kind of a bummer that they're all in the downside, they're all together.
They're all together.
They all get to be friends still.
I thought it was really cool that the dude who runs the Dissidents, Barker, the like the cur with the punk rock shit, he starts the rights up again just for fun.
Yeah.
If he stays
it's
in the downside.
It's like the only thing that was real for him.
He's like, yeah, just do it, whatever. It's fine.
Spoilers, by the way. I got to the end, and I got to that sequence where they're like, you should go. No, I should go. No, you should go. And then I finally got the choice, and I was like, oh, it gave me the third option to look at asshole boy Orelec over here. And I was like, hey, bro, go for it. And he was like, wait, what? And then, like, he's crying while he's going up in the moonbeam, and I'm like, yeah, I did a good thing for that asshole. And then it turns out that he gets in on the other side, and everything's on fire, and people are dying, and he's like, I used to be a doctor, and just immediately starts helping people.
Well, that's good.
So I felt good about that.
Yeah, so my revolution, the revolution still fires off even if you do, like, abysmally in this game, but it's like a fucking massacre. Like, they succeed, and they overthrow the Commonwealth, but, like, you know, it's talking about, like, harpy attack wings running over the city and shit like that, and, like... This is a bad scene.
So mine was apparently completely bloodless.
Oh, that's cool.
Whoa.
So what happened was when the
Who'd people, you send up?
I sent up everyone except Bertrude, Gilman, and Sandalwood. So what happened was when they all appeared, the people just assumed they were the eight scribes reborn and just like, were like, no government, no more. And just like started a new
Weird.
Civilization.
Wow. Okay.
Just and the harpies attacked at that moment, but because we had two harpies in our party, because I had Hedwyn and Tamitha or Pamitha.
Oh, okay.
In the party.
Oh, you can win over her sister.
No. Pamitha is the
She's
one you get.
She's the one you get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tamitha is the one that's mean.
Okay.
Yeah. She had a hard time when I sent her up.
Yeah.
She was like, I want my sister to go. And I was like, but I want to beat her ass.
Well,
you don't understand.
In my game,
hater.
Her sister got to go up.
Oh, okay.
Because she kicked her ass.
So, yeah, we did. I did her versus her sister in one of the liberation rites. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when you send her up, because you have two harpies on your team, mm-hmm. on the upside, you have
a harpy and a harpy lover.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Finky, Hedwyn's girlfriend, and Pamitha, they just go to the harpies and they're like, hey, you just want to integrate with society when they're done having a revolution?
Wait, you got Hedwyn's girlfriend?
Yeah, not as like
when
a
you
fighter.
Send Hedwyn
when
up,
you send Hedwyn up, she joins your like. Your
it turns revolution. Out his like long lost love is a bird lady.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I never encountered her.
No, I didn't encounter her in the game, but in the after epilogue, it was like because of the help of these two.
He
people.
And her provide the hookup. With the bird people. Yeah. So my ending, I sent Hedwyn up, and they're fighting a government in like a battle in the streets type shit, and then suddenly the bird people come in and fuck the government up with them, and I was like, yeah, that's fucking rad.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was because Hedwyn and his girlfriend had like orchestrated it.
Yeah,
it was like a thing.
Yeah. So completely bloodless coup. I only lost one match. I lost the middle match to Orelek. Mm-hmm. Because they were doing funky shit, like running the ball up the court with full stamina bars, and then regenning stamina bars by slamming me, and then diving into the pit, or doing things like running a nomad up to my character just at the very fraction of an edge off of my aura, and then slamming me in the face with the ball so I didn't have the aura anymore, and then killing me, and then picking the ball up. And they were doing these all in like a fraction of a second where I couldn't react.
Sure.
And I think it's intentional, but there's a slight delay when you lose a character before it gets to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to use this slight delay to kill my next character.
Sure.
Right? And they were just, like, murdered me. And that was, to be fair, a complete nadir of, like, understanding and power for me.
Yeah.
Because that was the first time I picked up Gilman, and that was the first time I picked up Pamitha.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had Tizo, and Tizo blows himself up. So it was like, fuck.
Like Tizo.
Tizo's my favorite. The clutchest motherfucker in the entire world. Zip is so good for defense.
Oh, I don't care about his abilities. I just think he's...
Oh, he's cute.
Those little bats are very good.
Yeah.
Every time I go inside the wagon, I click on all of them.
Because
they're very fun to watch.
Yeah, the drive imps are great.
All right, so my favorite character is Sir Gilman.
Yeah.
As far as like story-wise goes, for actually playing, it's Galadriel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very closely behind Bertrude.
Yeah, I like her best.
I like Bertrude for playing quite a bit, but she doesn't come into her own until she gets Slither, which makes her way fast.
Oh, yeah. And then when you get the ability where she jumps and pushes people out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, so many jams.
Yeah, so many fucking jumps.
So many jams! I think I really liked Bertrude and Kay for gameplay, because Kay's jump is fucking bananas.
I can jump
half the field
with
her.
Absolutely hated using her, but maybe I needed to like use her leveled up more.
So you know how an ability, when you're charging it, flashes and then does better?
Yeah.
So if you can time...
I was never able to do those
If
correctly.
You can time her jump right, she jumps literally half the field.
Okay.
And so you're just like, Grotrian from half court, I'm in the fucking thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's cool.
And she's like, she was the perfect mix of fast and useful.
Yeah.
I have a question to ask you guys about your playthrough. The fucking, worm knights or whatever, when you fight them, are they at all challenging?
Not really.
No.
Okay. I had a suspicion.
Please
expound.
So, if you play against them, and you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do they just slam into you and die?
No, they'll score on you, like, a little bit. And then they'll just, like, stop participating for a little while. And they'll just kind of, like, run around. And, like... And so, like, I got into this pattern of, like... Because I'm trying to lose these matches. Where, like, I just pick up my phone. And I, like, look at my phone. And I look up to make sure it hasn't, like, started dialogues that happen sometimes in matches.
Right.
But, like, I just let the other team dunk on me. And I take all the mutators you can have on the match that, like, lower your own fire and stuff like that. I have an achievement you guys don't have. I won a match with all 13 of the signs turned on.
Was it the
freebie
match?
Yeah, god damn it.
At one point in the game... the other teams are so demoralized by the game breaking down that one of them won't show up.
Well, no, it's not that. It's that you're supposed to be playing against the infidels, and they don't actually care about getting out of the downside.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when it's the last match, and this is their chance to get into the bracket, to go to the championship and escape
purgatory,
they're like,
I don't, my heart's not in it.
I don't need this. Yeah.
It was the Barkers for me. Their whole thing was they wanted to stop other people from leaving, and they knew they couldn't do that, so they just didn't show up.
Angry Lion Guy for me. I forget his name. He's got the sneer on his face, and they wear the yellow. He's the human.
Oh, Lendl.
Yeah, Lendl, the liar.
Yeah, Lendl the liar.
Yeah, he was like, I'm a bitch.
In my ending, he turned into a demon.
Nice.
Yeah, like, he blamed us for not being able to leave and robbing of his chance of leaving, and then alienated his team, and they're like, oh, he turned into a demon, and, like, throws star stones at people.
Yeah, 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 it was the same way, like, yeah, there's a demon that kind of looks like him, I guess. Yeah. He's over there.
Yeah. Turned into a demon, started fucking people up. I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, the worms, like, their entire gameplay, like advantage is that they're fast and they're small.
So the thing with the worms,
there's disadvantages that they throw matches.
Yeah. they don't have any air control.
Yeah, they have no air control. And then the other thing is, like, they are a secondary runner. Like, if you're doing a all run game strategy, then, like, you take them and Tizo or them and Rookie, and it's like, okay, well, this is the run game strategy. Right, but you can't have three worms and expect to do anything.
Sure.
Right? Like, you would have to be godlike to win with three worms.
It'd be high crazy. Level bird lady's really fast, too.
Yeah.
She's good. I didn't say who my favorite character was narratively. Because we did that. I'm trying to think. I think it's actually Tizo.
Tizo's
got a cool arc. Like, it turns out he's the great-grandson of, like, the fucking drive imp god.
He's not the great grandson because that was 1,000 years ago.
Whatever, but, yeah, he's like, related. He's and like the gods literally confirmed that to him because he's like, having like a down moment.
You are the descendant of Haub.
Like I love him because he's a drive imp and he knows he probably shouldn't be playing the game, but he's like, no, I'm good at it and I'm cool with it.
Well, also he was the first drive imp to participate in the
game. So he has like all this imposter syndrome stuff, and then everyone's always like, it's cool, buddy.
But he's the fucking best.
He's the best. Yeah, like he's.
He's a very good boy.
I don't know how many near scores Tizo has clutched into a reversal just with Zip. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck, man, he's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him a relic that makes his stamina regen once he gets the ball. Mm-hmm. So he can go all out shit nuts to get the ball, and then all out shit nuts to get the ball in the thing. He scored every fucking time. It was so good.
My Tizo.
That's why I let him go to the upside.
So you're telling me he was a runner for you, and I'm telling you, my Tizo took it for the team all day. He would go kill at least two people every time. was so good, because they do that thing where they crowd near the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
They get like two or three people near the ball, and I'd be like, yo, Tizo.
He's zip, zip, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? You're dead. And then my runner would be like, sweet, free goal.
No, I mean, I was all about running the ball in, right? And not passing, and just running through their defenses.
So, the reason I like Kay is, at high level, her shooty bit starts bouncing off of shit.
Okay.
And that's cool. Really cool.
That's cool.
And then...
Did you know that Plant Man reflects them back at them? That's so good.
And then the other one I really liked is Bertrude's will eventually start penetrating walls.
Oh, wow.
And the AI is not prepared for that.
Wow.
So you can literally, like, sit behind a wall, charge, and blast, and it's just, like,
I never used Bertrude's blast as a method of killing things. Mm-hmm. I used it as a method of saying, hey, this 90-degree angle...
don't be there.
You cannot be here.
Don't be there, and because, I'm jamming through it!
Yeah. Down the court!
Yep. You know,
green flag drops.
Yep.
Yeah, just fucked him up with that. This game is not balanced.
God, no. And the thing you were talking about the computer just, like, doing shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's just games there's games you're supposed to lose.
Right.
And there are times where you can pull it out, but, like, my first loss was literally, like, oh, man, the computer definitely got lucky there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little annoyed about it because I was, like, fucking undefeated killing it before that. And it was a liberation, right? So, like, all the stakes, right? Like, I wanted that win, and I didn't get it. And I'm like,
you
well, said
you
sucks.
you let Udmilda up to the surface, right?
Yeah, so she beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out she has, like, literally no effect on things in the ending. Like, she just goes up there and goes back to the swamp and fucks off. And no one really knows.
If you leave her in the downside, you know what she does?
Huh.
She blows herself up.
Okay.
Yeah, she, so, like, her whole thing is she's looking for Izlok.
Yeah, she's
her,
like, trying to god. Get down
she's
with
trying to get
she's
him.
She's trying to find an elder god.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so she goes to the place where his remains apparently are, and then accidentally blows
like, up
the entire...
giant god bodies all over the downside.
Yeah, there's, well, there's titans everywhere, but, so she goes there, and she blows up all of the dirt around there, and is dead, but also reveals conclusively that there is no god body here, and that guy's just actually dead. Mm. Which I thought was
funny. Which probably explains why when she gets away, she doesn't fucking do anything. Yeah. Is because her god doesn't actually exist anymore. Yeah. So, we've talked a lot about gameplay. We've talked a lot about the things we don't like, where the game does things that are wholly unhuman to beat you.
Yeah.
I didn't like that the game wasn't very reactive to me losing every single time.
Yeah, that's disappointing when you hear that it does that.
There was one time where Sandalwood, like, took me aside, and he's like, hey, so I noticed we've lost every single game. And it's like, yeah, I noticed that too, Sandalwood.
I've been trying, man, really.
Yeah, and he's like,
fun.
And so he's like, are you actually trying? Or, like, are you doing this on purpose? And, like...
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and so I was, like, really curious, like, what is he going to say if I say I'm doing this on purpose? And he's like, well, I clicked, like, what are the options? It's like, I'm doing the best I can, or I'm doing what I think is right. Okay. And he's like, he says something like, I don't know why you're doing it, but I trust your motives.
Whoa!
And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, that's weird.
The manager of your basketball team sucks. You should fire him.
Well, and, like, he straight up threatens that early on.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I can read too, bitch. And you're like, whoa, buddy. Like.
Yeah.
Did, when he steps in and is like, hey, I can read too, bitch, did Hedwyn and Galadriel and Rookie, like, defend you like they did in my game?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's...
I stood my ground and then, like...
Well, I think they backed me up, yeah.
Okay. That's pretty funny. It's like, I know we've lost every single match, but we trust him.
Yeah. Well, because...
We found him in the desert, man, we trust him.
Like, one thing that worked kind of well is it kind of felt like we're some, like, fucking bad news bears. Yeah. Like, where we all know we all suck ass. And, like, we're in it together.
Okay, right on. So this game is a Supergiant game, and there are a lot of things about Supergiant games that are in this game that are in every other Supergiant game.
Like Darren Korb.
Like Darren Korb's fantastic music.
Yeah, some good music.
Although, I could use slightly less vocals. I will put that out there.
Yeah.
It was pretty distracting a couple of times where, the minstrel
and
Celeste...
I love how fucking literal the vocals are.
Yeah. Like, the ending song just literally listed who was in the downside and who wasn't, and I was
so
like...
Good.
We just did that.
I love how literal the songs are, because they're very beautiful, right? There's really nice guitar, they're singing very well, and then it's just like, I'm summarizing what happened lyrically, and I'm like, this has a really weird charm to it.
Doesn't Tenacious D do a joke about how you're just literally not supposed to do that?
Right, yeah, no, that's why I'm like, like, break the rules, do it. But, like, the visuals in this game are insane.
Oh, yeah, the whole game's gorgeous. Like, the way your little wagon chitty-chitty-bang-bang thing, like, animates as it, like, trundles along.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
trundles is a good word
fucking,
for it.
The world map environments are insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I even thought that the voice acting being, like, weird mishmash Latin was pretty cool.
Yeah. And, like, every character has their own voice, both in the text and audibly.
Yeah.
Even though they're, like, simlishing audibly.
I will say, though, about three... I played the last part of this game pretty quickly, because I wanted to get done with it. Uh-huh. I wanted to be done. I had things to do the next day.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't much time left, I thought, for me to play the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a long... Like, it is an arduous
so
game.
So, about two-thirds of the way through the game, I stopped enjoying the visual novel mm-hmm. aspect of it, because it was kind of just bogging down the actual
game.
Yeah,
like, I want to be done, you're in the way.
Yeah, like, okay. Hey... Sir Gilman, your emotions are cool and everything, but, like, I need to go kick some harpy ass and, like, get you off this planet.
Sir Gilman was a character I could never get invested in. Like, I just didn't care.
Mm.
Like, it's like, I get it. You're, like, you're a doofy knight who is very silly looking. And so, like, I just never paid very close attention to his crap.
I appreciated how excited he was at all times, but he wasn't my guy.
There's a thing this game has that, like, every Supergiant game has, where, like, the world it exists in is, like, implausibly small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Commonwealth sounds like it's a single city.
Yeah. So why does a single city get its own hell?
Yeah. Get access to the afterlife.
Get its own hell and its own pantheon and its own, like...
Like, literally, like, stars are winking out in the cosmos. you know, like, yeah, just for the government, yeah, of this city. You know, like,
but I kind of,
well, to be fair,
like,
the stars are in the downside. That's which is sort their, of part their of, personal hell, but yeah, still, it's fucking weird.
That's part, yeah, of the weird charm to, yeah, the supergiant formula.
And then they're all like that. Like Bastion, yeah, is like the whole world of Bastion is like these two factions. These, yeah, these two nations.
It's like a fighting town and a bunch of shit around it.
Well, it's two nations, remember? Because, yeah, one, whatever. We're not going to get in the Bastion. And Transistor is very much like that too.
It's, yeah,
like, they all have this like very deliberate small story to the point where like it makes it feel like a fairy tale.
Yeah, it's a very player versus environment type thing. Like, it's, yeah, a very whimsical.
It seems like a very deliberate move on their part to like not make it part of a big believable world, but like rather this.
No, this is, yeah, what we're doing.
Yeah,
and we have filled it to the brim with goodies.
Yeah,
with fun bullshit.
Yeah, it's great.
And like all, like also like every other Supergiant game, it's like kind of sad and tragic.
Yeah, there's like a lot of like surprise emotional depth.
Well, and it's like
hey, I stabbed you with a feeling, like.
Well, in the game, this game, like all the like almost every character has like some form of like unrequited love.
Oh yeah, like the whole game is about redemption, right? So, well, it's
like the minstrel and what's her name,
Celeste,
at the gate? Yep. Yeah. And fucking,
because it's the sun and the moon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like the swamp lady on your team,
she's in love with Sandalwood.
She wants Sandalwood, and Sandalwood doesn't want it. Yep. And you know, Harpy,
Edwin's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend he can't get to. The Harpy's sister hates her, and she loves her sister.
Yeah.
Rookie needs to get back to his mom.
Yeah.
And
his uncle.
Yeah. There's a bunch more. Like, I was thinking about it. There's, like, you can go down, like, almost every...
Orlex being a dick to Tika or Tizo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even, like, that one fucking demon I went up against who,
with
like...
Chin?
Yeah, so he won in my game, of course.
Ignarius.
And, like, as he's ascending, he's like, whoa, you got a demon girl on your team? Hey, girl!
Yeah, no, like, that's, like, that's that guy's whole thing.
Yeah, and, like, in his epilogue, too, and it's, like, at the end of the game, it's like, and he was very sad because he never met anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. In mine, he's in the downside.
Oh, and Shay likes Almer.
Yeah, so in the downside, Ignarius is, like, turns into a bouncer and, like, just kind of muscles his way through life and always misses Curly Horns. And I'm like, dude, let it go. She yeah. wasn't even into you. Like,
yeah. Galadriel was not into that, dude.
Like, she's great, too.
Yeah, she was my first up. I was like, you get to go.
Oh, she was my first up, too.
And she was like, wait, what?
Yeah, she was my... So, the way I think about it is goalie, top wing, lower wing. And the lower wing plays midfield, defense, and offense. Top field is strictly a runner, mm-hmm. and the center is the fucking goalie.
So, I was playing the game thinking...
So, let me finish.
Go ahead.
My setup was... Tuki on top,
uh-huh.
Hedwin on the bottom, not moving, just providing stamina regen to everybody, and then Galadriel holding down the goal.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the thing. That's what we did.
Isn't it Jodariel?
Jodariel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's correct. Sorry. Whatever. And I sent her up first, even though I didn't have a backup goalie. And then the game handed me Tizo, and I was like, oh, cool, Tizo has Sons of Presence.
So yeah, I was operating under the assumption that we were going to jam our way to the Commonwealth, and then we were going to jam with the gods. So I was building, like, the super team to send up.
Okay.
Right?
I
thought we were going to go up and dunk on the gods.
That's a reasonable, unfounded assumption about the end
game. Right, like, yeah. the way the beginning of the game presents things
well,
to
then
you,
the describes,
like
yeah.
yo, we going to ball for the universe is, like, a yeah. thing, right? Like... So I'm thinking, like, I'm setting up the big Space Jam ending with OG team, and I'm, like, ready to go, and then, like, the game ends,
yeah.
and I wasn't, like, dissatisfied by the ending, but I was, like, operating under the assumption, like, yo, it's gonna be fucking shirts versus blouses up there, and it's gonna be dope.
Did either of you guys send up a Bill Murray or Jordan, like, for the Space Jam at the end?
No. I really liked how the announcer is a ex-Nightwing. Like, the judge who's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's revealed that he was the dude the Nightwing sent up before Orlac
yeah.
was attempted to be sent up.
Yeah. I really like that he's the first Bastion narrator to be a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, the first supergiant narrator who's like, I yep. hate you. I thought we were friends.
Yeah, he's such a dick. And he vacillates between, like, holding your hand into the game, like, being kind of cool with you... Somewhere towards the second act, he's like, yo, fucking stop it.
Well, he starts, and then he starts lying to you. He starts being, there's a traitor on your team, Rita.
He starts, like, accepting that you're, like, the shit in his cut, and, like, just sort of gets lazy for a while. And he even, like, legit cheats in a couple of games. Like, I had a game where I'm winning, and then suddenly out of the sky they get 50 more fucking hit points. And I'm like, yo, fuck you, dude! Like, like he's literally cheating to try and fuck you over.
His finger on that little cosmic scale.
Yeah, like, and I'm just like, yo, this guy's a dick. And that's why I wanted, like, that catharsis of, like, jam on this dude. Like,
you know? I mean, he destroyed his government.
Oh, I definitely jammed on him, just not how I thought I would. Like,
yeah, we, so apparently in the Bloodless coup, we took all the hardliners in the government and sent them to the outside.
Damn.
And then everyone else who was who was willing to cooperate.
Some real French Revolution shit.
We examined whether or not they were cool, and if they were cool, they could stay, and if they weren't, we exiled them.
Yo, people just died in mine. Like, yeah. People just fought for shit.
Yeah, one of the people who got to go up in mine, because I didn't get to pick anybody, was that fucking tree guy.
The douchebaggy.
Manly. Yeah.
Manly.
Yeah, so he went up and then, like, used his influence to, like, get back in his position of affluence. And then, like, the revolution happened immediately. I don't remember exactly what happened to him. I think that he gets killed or something
Neat.
Like
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. I hate that guy. He bankrupts his family from the downside of him going down there. It's pretty funny.
He, like, literally tries. He does all the, like, Looney Tunes-ass ways to get home.
So, when you first do a liberation rite, Sandalwood digs you aside, and he's like,
yeah,
I have a mental number for everyone you send up, and I will update that in the sheet every time you send someone up. I'll show you, like, what the percentage chance I think the revolution will go well is.
Yeah.
Right? And when you said, Joe Dario, I sent her up first, and it was like, boom, 30% immediately. And I'm
She's
like,
a big deal.
Damn, 30%. That so happens to be her glory score.
Okay. Oh.
Right? So I thought that's what was going on.
Okay.
But then
buffing glory
then
super hard.
I sent up Headwind. I mean, I was doing that anyway.
Yeah.
But I sent up Headwind, and it was like 7%. And I was like, oh.
That's not what's happening.
Oh. You know, like, that's definitely not the number we're using and stuff.
I think I got to 30% success chance by the end of the game.
Nice.
By failing everything.
Nice.
It was in the teens for most of the game.
Nice.
So, you mentioned something in the pre-show meeting about how there's no good ending in this game.
Well, that was a thing that I swear I read in an interview where the director of the game was like, there's no true 100%.
Yeah, there's no perfect ending.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets out.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets what they want.
A couple of people have to stay.
I found myself, as my team got smaller, feeling worse and worse about who I knew would be staying behind. I don't know about you guys.
Like, no, I
guess, Owen, fairly, that's not really a factor for your
fairly party. Early on, I did a mental calculation. I said, who would be the most okay with sticking behind?
Yeah.
And Sir Gilman, while I love him, is an idiot.
Yes.
Right? And he would do very little good up there, and it doesn't matter. He would, I think, have a worse time back in the solar, the water dominion, the sea dominion, because everyone would be a dick to him, because that's apparently what the worms do. They, like, scaven each other up, you know? And then Sandalwood understands the necessity of someone staying behind more than anyone, so I let him stay behind. And then Bertrude has a fucking casino.
Literally gives no fucks.
Like, she owns property in the downside that's successful and gets her money. And I was like, she would probably rather stay. So I did that calculation, and I said, this is my team for the final battle, because I like that team, too.
Yeah,
so,
no, it's a good comp. Yeah.
And because it's Bertrude is oppressive, Sandalwood is oppressive, and you cannot stop Gilman! So
Bertrude went up because I wanted her for the god jam. Like, I was like, Snake Lady, you can dunk on three people. You're going to the god jam.
So this sounds like Keenan's got an excellent premise for Pyre 2. Supergiant, we know you're listening. Please, you can contact us at badplaystyle@gmail.com if you would like to buy our idea that we're putting on the internet publicly.
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I'm totally okay that wasn't the ending, but, like, I was operating under that pretense the whole time. I think I would have made different choices if I'd known that wasn't the case.
I sent up who I felt deserved it.
I felt like the game fed me stories for people as I was deciding they weren't going up, and then I was just like, fucking, ow. Like, you just punched me in my emotional stomach. Thanks.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah,
like,
I sent up Shay because she doesn't fucking deserve this. I sent up Hedwyn because it's Hedwyn, man. He's the guy who, like, you help me out. Mm-hmm. You know, I sent
up, Shay's like the special kid everyone hates because she's special, and that's not cool.
Right? And I sent up Galadriel because she's the fucking anchor of my team. I sent up Rookie because he's a good guy.
Yeah, Rookie's a good boy.
I sent up Pamatha because I felt that she could make the harpies come around to my side of things. I sent up myself because I'm the best.
So you know the worm knight, you know the worm knight who sucks,
that Sir Deluge, that you go up against. Yes.
Apparently, him going up was like hugely helpful to the revolution because he gets like saddled with his unit again. Like,
leaving his unit. He's on the defense.
Yeah, and
he's a huge tool.
And he's a coward. He runs away.
He turns and runs, and his unit like scatters.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's awesome.
They get fucking massacred.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Any final comments upon this game before we move on to the Not Real Game Awards?
Oh, Supergiant's keeping it up.
Yeah, Supergiant's keeping it up. I highly suggest seeking out people who can handle the complexity of this game to play in the Versus mode. The Versus mode is very cool. You can get access to all the talismans and stuff. There is a talisman that makes your aura not go away if you're holding the Starstone.
Yeah,
but
I was like,
can't cast it.
I saw that and I was like, what the fuck? That changes everything. Yeah. That makes people like Jadariel just march.
Also, a one where if you die, you either come back as a howler or with infinite stamina briefly.
Oh yeah, I had that amulet.
Yeah,
I
gave it to Gilman because he has really fast respawn time. So I would like die and get Gilman back and switch to him, just be like, bye.
See, my favorite talismans were the ones that made me win more.
There's the tooth that gives you more glory.
Yeah, yeah, and there's one where
I got Bertrude up to 45 damage if I'm winning.
At first, I had her talent that gave me more if she won, and then she had the thing that if we're losing, she gets more points too. So Bertrude was like, "Yo, hedge."
Yeah.
Yo, hedge the score. Like, but then I realized that wasn't gonna happen very often, and she went full offense, and it was good.
Yeah, Slither is really good. So, Not Real Game Awards time?
Not Real Game Awards, let's do it.
Not Real Game Awards, sorry. Yeah, let's do it. Todd Howard's.
Zero.
None, yeah.
Yeah? I can agree with that.
It's hard to be an indie game, and, like, granted, this game's, like, on the boundary of what's an indie game. But, for like, real? It's hard for an indie game to get very many Todd Howard's.
Yeah, alright.
Yeah, they didn't make it map first, so.
Man, when you told me that,
it makes everything make sense.
And it's so frustrating.
It makes everything make sense.
Okay, Brandon Chung.
I'm going to say zero. I don't have any compelling reason to give this a Brandon Chung.
But beyond the voice acting?
Okay, I give it one.
Okay.
That people speak a nonsense language.
Because it's like very much its own style and doesn't give a fuck. In the same way like a Brendan Chung game does.
I'm going with one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just for the voice acting.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Maybe a little bit of what you said. Nina Freeman.
Ooh.
I felt things.
Yeah, I'd give
I'm
like
going to go
two or three.
I'm at three.
I can do three.
Yeah.
I'm at three with this.
Yeah, there were, like, I did not expect to get nearly as attached to anyone as
it did. I mean, it did the VN thing. Like,
and
it did the visual
novel thing.
And it did a good job
of giving me reasons to care about each character individually in a way that, like, I enjoyed.
I did not care about each character individually.
I related and understood to their stories.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Simon Vicklund. I'm at a zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the same feel.
J.E. Sawyer, I am at a three.
Yeah, I'd give it a three.
I am at a three.
I think if it weren't for the thing we talked about with Supergiant Worlds being small, like it could be a four.
Yeah, if there was more context, I would care more.
Yeah,
is it a 3.5?
If it was a bigger
world. No, we do whole numbers here this show.
Well, also, I'm not doing four; I'm doing three.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Unless you're doing four.
Jeff Bezos.
Zero.
Zero.
That's the same thing I said about the
I mean, we are in a post-apocalyptic nightmare world, but it's not in the same way that
not like that
generates. Yeah.
You know how hard it is to deliver shit to the downside?
Not that hard.
You send it down the river.
You need a lot of imps.
No, you send it down the river. Like, Rookie was the supplier for the shopkeep that you buy from.
Oh.
Before he was
Falcon sent. Ron? We didn't fucking talk about Falcon Ron!
Yeah.
And Dad!
Yeah.
He's the best!
He is not. He is annoying.
He is an amazing shopkeeper.
So, so, like, Rookie, before he was exiled, would send supplies down and somehow get money back down the river.
Some bullshit metaphysics Congress.
They're very vague about how that works.
Yeah, that's just fine.
So, whatever. Falcon Ron's a weird goblin who rides a giant slug he calls Dad that he talks to. And he also has no slug stuff. Ideas about commerce at all.
He thinks that if you sell him back the item, it should be the same price.
He literally asks you at one point, like, hey, do you guys think I should have a sale? like that's one of the dialogue options when you would talk to him. You're like, yeah, you should have a sale. He's like, yeah, I'll think about it. he's so fucking like
Tarn Adams. I'm med zero on that.
Like, I feel bad because like Supergiant Games deserve not real game awards, but none of them are in their wheelhouse.
Hey, whatever.
We've given out a fair number of points, more than we usually do.
Okay.
Because of the multiple threes. So the Tarn Adams.
Like, this is the Tarn Adams. This is like the antithesis of a Tarn Adams.
Yeah.
Because like a Tarn, like this again, is all not big bespoke enough. Story. Yeah. Yeah. It's all individual people and their feelings and their names.
It is all human, not computer generated.
Yeah.
Human. Jake Solomon. I was very angry about the state of my character's well-being.
I think there's a three...
At multiple points.
I'd give it like a one.
I'm at two.
Okay. I just want to say three because there's a lot of permanence to your decisions.
I'm staying at one.
I'm cool with it being two.
All right, that's two.
Like,
all right. Here we go.
I'm cool with being two. Permanence and right. Feelings.
Speaking of Kenan. Kenan.
Yeah.
Wrestle.
Oh, okay. So I talked about Kevin Owens meeting Shania Twain.
So this
what is happening?
This is the part of the show where Kenan gets to speak about wrestling because he likes wrestling.
The
a
dumb
lot.
Wrestling thing.
Yeah. So.
So, Matt, you and I have discussed at length the plot device that is the Money in the Bank suitcase.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite part
of
wrestling.
It is the best part of,
yeah.
of WWE.
More
wrestling.
Of that kind of thing, more of the time in all leagues.
So the Money in the Bank briefcase for Owen and other people who do not know.
Well, I mean, obviously I know. You just need to explain it for
okay.
the audience.
For the viewers.
Owen knows everything about wrestling.
Yeah. So the Money in the Bank briefcase is a briefcase you win in a ladder match wherein you climb a ladder and unhook the briefcase.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah. And the briefcase allegedly has inside, though I doubt it's in there, a contract for a title match at any point in time.
It's like a bearer bond for
a
title match.
Yeah, yeah, so like classically speaking, someone wins this suitcase and they like carry it around for a while and then they show up with a referee when you just lost your match and you're the title guy and they fucking beat you up and take your title. Like, that's pretty much how it gets used.
Okay.
But as a storytelling device, it's fucking incredible because you can put it in anyone's hands and immediately there's a weird chance and anything could happen.
Also,
which is the important thing in wrestling storytelling.
It's a bearer bond. So
it's a bearer bond.
You can have people jack people
so,
up
yeah,
backstage
people
for,
should,
their, for their
it
contract.
Should be treated like a stipulation in a match,
yeah.
right? Like, that's a thing. And they're doing it. So Braun Strowman, resident giant man who's larger than Brock Lesnar and throws Brock Lesnar around like a ragdoll.
Mm-hmm.
He is currently the monster in the bank because he won Money in the Bank. Don't ask.
All right.
But Kevin Owens, Shania Twain fan and Magic Wrestling
yeah,
Boy,
yeah, yeah.
is going to wrestle the monster in the bank for the suitcase.
Okay.
And it's the dumbest, best thing ever.
Good.
That's good.
Good. I'm glad they're doing the thing I said they should do.
I hope I summarized that quickly.
Yeah, no, you did. No, that was great.
Are we to my favorite segment?
No, almost. we don't have any video game issues. We don't have any unrealized dreams. But it is time to discuss the chicken hat. Hey, where are we at on the chicken hat?
I get a plus one on the chicken hat, because, man, last week was fucking nuts.
Okay.
Yeah. I got really busy and didn't play the game, and we pushed our recording 3 days later so that I could finish the game and we could have a real conversation about the game.
Yeah, which I think we did, so
yeah.
That was a good,
mission
good call, Owen.
I do want to say, I wish I'd started the game earlier, because playing this game on a time crunch...
The game suffers, for sure.
It's definitely, like, a game that I would have rather had time to come back to and, like, give it its room. Because there was definitely a point where I'm like, shut up, quit talking, let me jam. Like,
yeah, that's kind of the point I got to. I was like, these aren't doing anything. I just want to jam. Yeah.
And even then, it wasn't even like, I want to jam. Like, it was like, I want to be done.
Right. I wanted to jam. That's what I wanted.
I like the jam.
What's up?
Oh, what are we playing next week?
Oh, we're going to play Kentucky Route Zero.
Okay, talk about Kentucky Route Zero for a minute.
Are we skipping my favorite segment?
No, it's always last.
Okay, it's not always last.
It is.
Kentucky Route Zero, I'm sorry.
Kentucky Route Zero is like a magical realist journey across Appalachia.
I love magical reels.
Yeah, it's that game is bizarre.
I love Appalachia. No?
No, you don't.
No.
You play as Conway, a delivery man who's making his last delivery, and he has to go into a like, mysterious and impossible underground highway system to get there.
That sounds so fucking cool.
Yeah.
How did
2D narrative Fallout 3. Got
how,
it.
Nope.
How did human beings come up with such concepts? This is amazing to me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty Where do great. Ideas come from?
I don't know. Speaking of ideas, Sam Fisher versus...
So, like, something that occurred to me about this feature of our podcast is that, like, my perception of Sam Fisher is that, like, he's, like, very good at, like, only a single thing.
Yes.
And is also, like, very set in his ways.
Yes. Right.
So, like, if you put Sam Fisher on a Pyre basketball team, uh-huh. and we're like, all right, dude, it's time for the jam.
Does he have his gun, though?
I don't think so.
Yo, like, but Sam Fisher with an aura is kind of scary. If he can project his will at people and kill them.
I mean, do you think Sam Fisher has lots of presence?
I don't know.
I think, no, he doesn't. That's the antithesis of his job. If he has lots of presence, everyone knows he's there and he can't be a sneak boy.
He has a ton of hope, though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay.
He has a ton of, what, and like, plenty of quickness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a fair amount of glory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I think by being a, like, classified person, he has zero glory.
Yeah.
Well, because your glory doesn't need to be necessarily, like, out in the open. It can be, like,
I don't know. His character arc, there's some real dark shit in it.
Okay.
So you think I would, like, argue that Sam Fisher is at least zero sum, if not negative glory.
So you're saying he's, like, the Sir Gilman of our
yeah,
group?
Yeah, I could say that.
Okay.
Like, I'm willing to concede,
like, Sir Gilman with a gun.
This might be Sam Fisher's first win on the podcast.
Okay.
Like,
because, I mean, you definitely do, like... You do kill people, right? They're just yeah. banished because we're in the rights, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think Sam Fisher would be proficient as a midfielder that just fucking takes people
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I think he's the murder guy. Like,
okay.
I think, like, he's, like, a helpful...
He's not scoring.
I think he's a helpful addition to a team, but right. I don't think he makes... He's not LeBron.
Okay, right? so that's worth imagining Sam Fisher versus in the context of the rights. What about just, like,
okay, so here's
murdering everyone in the black wagon? Okay,
so, like, no, hold on.
I don't think he gets that done.
So here's the thing. We agree that Sam Fisher could be a competent player in the rights. Right. Do you think the reader's really going to pick him?
No.
Who's this dude with the goggles? What's going on here?
The goggles? He brought a gun? Get out of here, dude. Get out of here.
I think Sam Fisher would be a formidable player, but would get dunked on bad.
Right. Like, he would not be a good defensive player.
He doesn't have
player.
Any defensive
He wouldn't
capability.
Be a good
no.
offensive player. He would
He's
be
not
going to
hold space.
He would be a good utility center fielder for... Like, taking
Yo,
people
the
out.
Only thing he's going to do is once per game, he's going to mark all three dudes on your team, hit a button, and they all die. Okay? Like, that's it. He gets to do that once. Maybe that's good for something.
Okay.
So Sam Fisher gets dunked on.
So, I think Sam Fisher would do well if he was picked. So, I think Sam Fisher takes this one. I think we got to give it to him. Right?
I mean, the interpretation of this is always pretty broad. It's like, is this Sam Fisher winning the entire plot of the game? Is this Sam Fisher versus the Nightwings?
Yeah.
I think Sam Fisher, if he's just in the downside by himself and not on a team, is fucked.
Okay.
I want to put that out there. Like, okay. That place is fucked up and crazy, and he is not prepared for that.
Okay, but yeah. I mean, okay. So, in a situation where he is, like... prepped for the mission and needs to kill everyone inside the black wagon, can he get it done?
Nope.
Okay.
I think Jodaria would fucking...
Yeah. I think he'd, like, stab her or whatever and she'd be like, no, kill him.
She'd fucking crater him.
She would rip him in half.
All right. Like, all right. Well, that answers our questions. I advocated for Sam Fisher winning for the first time ever, and he has maintained a zero-win record throughout
You know me. I'm a Sam Fisher boy, but I don't think he gets it done here.
All right. Owen, where can they find us?
If you want to contact our web zone at badplaysl@gmail.com, you can send comments, corrections,
dick
game
pics.
Codes, dick pics for Matthew.
You can also, if you can tell me why Sam Fisher Versus appeared in the Doom Agenda in the first place.
Love to know.
I would love to know. Who did that?
I believe I would be, like, I would be the one.
It's
but,
not shared.
But
you have to have access
right.
to my phone.
No, like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I believe I would have said something that triggered this, but.
Anyway, see you later, guys. We'll see you in Kentucky
later.
Route Zero.
Oh, hey, we have a Twitter, too.
Oh.
Yeah, at Bad Play Style on Twitter. Chirp.
theme music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.